Whoa. Young people, hang in there. In 25 years, you want to still be loving Jesus. You want to finish well. You want your reputation to go ahead of you. And when you get in trouble, make sure it's for the right reasons. Get in trouble for standing for the word. Get in trouble for being willing to call Jesus Christ your Redeemer. Be proud of him. He is wonderful. And never be ashamed of the Holy Ghost. I tell you what, I am passionate about the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you what, when Josh began to speak in tongues last night, my heart leapt within me. Because I knew he had begun an exciting part of his journey. If you have not been filled with the Holy Ghost, with speaking in tongues, yes, I love speaking in tongues, today is a good day to do that. It's not hard. And you aren't eliminated for any reason. There's no bias in the kingdom. Man, is God fair. Well, let me rephrase that. He's fair because he honors his kids. Yeah. If you're not one of his kids, you're in big trouble because he's coming back soon. But he's coming back for those who know his name. He's coming back for those who are looking for his return. And he's coming back soon. And he's not troubled by the mess we see around us. Because he is greater than that. He knew before he created the world that we would end up in a mess. He knew we would blow it. He knew the fruit in the garden that he said, don't touch, would be too enticing to resist. Because he understands our frailty. He never condemns us for being human. Remember that. He doesn't condemn you for being frail, but he always is willing to pick you up and say, come on, baby, let's do it. We can do this. And totally forgive. He is an amazing God. He is the only God. There is no other. Listen, I've visited some nations where they have thousands of gods, and they're constantly offering sacrifices because they're so afraid of displeasing this God of theirs, whichever one it was. They can't even keep track of them. There are so many. But our God is one God. There is only one. And I'll tell you that right now, he's not dead. I just talked to him. He's still alive. He just talked to me. Yes, God talks to me. Yes, I hear from God. No, I don't need a psychiatrist. Whew. And to make it worse, I see an angel in here today. We have angels with us. Real angels. They are alive. I tell you what, I am so excited about the days that we are in. I'm so excited about what God is revealing for this nation, because when the prophet years ago prophesied that America was a Titanic, how many of you know what he was saying? Man, I went to the throne of grace and I began to cry out to the Lord. I reminded him, if there were 50 righteous in this nation, he cannot righteously cause this nation to go under. He cannot. If there are 10 righteous, he cannot allow this nation to go under. And I'll tell you right now, even in this room, we have at least 10, right? Therefore, this nation will fulfill her destiny in Jesus Christ. I don't care who is prophesying doom and gloom. I don't believe it one whit because my God is alive. And he is moving powerfully on the planet. And you are a part of that move. You're not left out because you're in Missouri. I've heard of Missouri. If I've heard of Missouri, so has God. If he has visited Alaska, this far out, far away, dark region, Surely he will visit Missouri. Not because you're righteous. Come on. Not because you're good. We know better, don't we? Not because you're powerful, but because he is crazy about you. God totally loves you. He loves you down to the very tiniest atom in your body. When he comes in, something happens on the inside of us. You know, God is always present. He's omnipresent. I'm speaking through God to your ears. He saturates the atmosphere in the room right now. That's called the omnipresence of God. He is here. He's that great and that magnificent. He actually moves in a way that allows us to recognize God is here. That's called manifest presence. That's when he makes known to you that he's here for you. And I want you to know, when you sense the manifest presence of God, everything inside of you wakes up and says, oh, that's the time to start telling him how much you love him. And it's also time to make your request known to him. Because his ear is especially tuned to you at that moment. I was with a friend of mine going up to Fairbanks in the North Pole where Derek and Cece used to live. And we were establishing prayer groups in Alaska. And to get to from Fairbanks to Anchorage, we have a very short road system in Alaska, even though Alaska is so big. We're 1/5 the size of the United States, and yet we don't even have 1 million people in the entire state. And we have a short road system, and the road system comes right through Mount Denali National Park, where there are soaring mountains. The second largest mountain in the world is in Alaska. And the majesty is just incredible, breathtaking. I want to issue an invitation to all of you to schedule a trip to Alaska. It will be life-changing for you. There is an apostolic prophetic mantle that saturates the atmosphere. There are other bad boys, too, that try to get in there. But God is prevailing. And there's something about topography that pleases God. The word of the Lord says that God dwells on the sides of the north. Don't you want to go where he specifically dwells? Now remember, he is also here. But you want to woo him today with your faith to manifest himself in a way that's tangible to you. He does things like that. He loves it when his children are expecting him to show up. You know what it was like when my husband would be coming home from work? My kids seemed to know that it was about the time, and they'd race to the sofa, and they'd watch. Here would be Tom Jr., Kathleen, David, and Bandit, our dog. All lined up waiting. They're waiting for the king to arrive. And then they'd start squealing the minute they saw his car coming down the street. God loves it when you come to church and you're sitting in a row. Derek, Cece, Caroline, Joe, and they're waiting for the sight and the there's an expectancy. The king is coming. Yes. Oh, my goodness. He is coming. That's what I feel in the atmosphere. He's coming. And all around the world, the church is waiting. It's like you're on tippy toes. Something's getting ready to happen. And there's a hush because God is coming with his manifest presence to the planet. Not just to one place, but to the whole planet. This planet will have a visitation of the manifest presence of God. And we are going to see some incredible miracles suddenly break out. It will be effortless. This church won't be able to hold everybody that's going to be coming in here waiting to see God move with power. And he's going to move in unusual ways and through some unusual people. When I've shared this testimony before, but a friend of ours, Abraham George, was just a bad boy. He was an alcoholic and he was very violent, Eskimo man, big, large man. And he didn't know God, didn't go to church. He didn't know what to call heaven. He called it the beautiful place. And hell was, he didn't believe in hell, but it was a bad place, whatever it was. And this man was crushed out in the wilderness by a 1,500-pound sled loaded with logs. And he was drunk at the time. They managed to get him to the village. There are no hospitals in the villages. So they had to fly him to a second village. And there's no hospital in that village. So then they had to get another plane to fly him to Anchorage. And on the way to Anchorage, he died in the plane. And when he died, he had a vision, a manifest presence of God showed up and took him to see the bad place. And in the bad place, he saw people that he knew that had passed away. He saw people that were crying out for him to help them. And this wonderful Jesus said, "Do you want to see the beautiful place now?" Now, this isn't he not saved, not a Christian. God can do whatever he wants. You know, I was telling my friend this morning, why didn't he raise up someone who's a good person? Someone who could do something good. He took him to the beautiful place, and he began to describe what it was like. And this Eskimo man, who did not speak very good English, was looking at Jesus, and Jesus said, "Where do you want to go?" Now, mind you, he's already dead. His body's already at the Anchorage Hospital, and they've already pronounced him dead, taken him down to the morgue. And here he is having this presence with the manifestation of Jesus, real. And he said, "Oh, I want the beautiful place." And just like that, he was resurrected from the dead. They had already issued his death certificate. He has a copy of it. I would frame that thing. I would put it in the front page of the newspaper. I would go visit the president with that thing in hand. This man, who used to be violent, went back to his village and in his native language told the villagers who he saw in the bad place. Relatives. People they thought were good people. Being a good person does not make you eligible for the beautiful place. Only the blood of Jesus Christ will save you. Only the blood. So he is now going from village to village, preaching up a storm in his broken English, and the fear of God is following him. And whole villages are turning to Jesus. Whole Eskimo villages. Villages we cannot reach. Villages that have been closed to the gospel where they kick Christians out. They let this man come in. Isn't God wise? He knew exactly what he was doing. I want you to know, there is a worldview that opposes Jesus Christ. There is a worldview that influences our movies, our media, arts, business, politics, education, the medical arena. There is a worldview that is totally opposed to Jesus Christ. It does not know Him. It does not love Him. Does not want to hear about Him. Does not want Him preached. They're trying to eradicate every mention of Him from our school books. They're trying to destroy monuments that mention Him. And they're trying to undermine and remove from the foundation of our nation our beginnings of faith. But I'll tell you something. Jesus is coming. Whoa, He's coming. And He's coming for those who are looking for Him. I'm going to challenge you a little bit this morning. We have been saturated for years now to believe the world, to believe the standards that they have established, to believe what our teachers in many of our secular universities have told us. You know, have any of you seen that movie, God Is Not Dead? You know that's a true story. I met the young man that was at the university that was being challenged by the professor. Precious young man. And he had the boldness to stand up and tell the professor, this educated, brilliant professor, that he was wrong. This young man. God is looking for young men and women like that, who'll just say, my God is not dead. He can heal you. He can save you. He loves you. I wanted to remind you, though, how many times in the word of the Lord, God says, pursue love. Pursue love. The old method of a fear-based hitting people over the head with the Bible is not an effective tool. But love is an effective tool. And when you love someone enough, you're willing to lay your life down for them. You're willing to pay a price so they will move deeper in Christ, so they will come to know the Lord. That is what is going to make the difference. God really is love. And He's looking for people to love the lost. He's looking for someone to love that transvestite who is struggling to survive. He's looking for somebody who's going to love that gay man or that lesbian woman, and because they're trying to make it in a confusing world. There are now, I believe, 92 gender identifications. 92! Listen, I can only handle two. Male and female. 92. Who has 92? I just read where someone wants to be designated some kind of animal. I can't remember what it was. Did you hear about that? He wants this official designation on his birth certificate. God help us. Oh, they're precious, precious, confused people. I totally love them. I do. But Jesus really is the way. He really is the truth. And He is the life. But people need not just the omnipresence of God. They need manifest presence. And I'm going to challenge you this morning that you individually, every single one of you, begin to cry out to God to manifest Himself in your sphere. That you carry something that causes others to tremble. Whoa. I walked into an airport one time with some friends, and there was a Hare Krishna. Any Hare Krishnas in the room? I don't want to be offensive. And he was minding his own business, passing out roses. He's got his sarong on, and he's passing out roses. And I just walked up and walked by him. He looked at me. Something caught his attention. I didn't say a word. I'm minding my own business. I'm a nice lady. I wasn't going to hurt him. But he suddenly was afraid. What was happening? The manifest presence of God surrounds you. And that's what you want. So without a word, something in those people who need Jesus wakes up and pays attention. I was ministering in our church one time, and I was sitting up on an altar like this, a little larger than that, maybe we had about 100 people there. It was a small group, small gathering. And all of a sudden, I realized everything looked crooked in the room. I had been looking down at my Bible, and I looked up, and everybody was tilted funny. And then I realized I was tilted funny. The presence of God had so saturated me, I was tipping over. And I didn't know. Have you ever heard of people getting drunk in the Holy Ghost? That's a real phenomena. It actually happens. Listen, I grew up around a bunch of alcoholics. The last thing I wanted, I mean, I was a total teetotaler. I didn't want to get this drunk in the Holy Spirit business. That was creepy. But here I was, minding my own business. This nice lady tipping over on the pew. And so, you know, I'm sort of a practical person. If God's doing something, there has to be a purpose. Sometimes God just likes to play with you. But when I said to the Lord, yeah, maybe he wants me to put my notes down and let him do his business, you know? And so I said, Father, do you want to do something? And whew, I could feel a garment of his presence swirling out from me about 12 feet in a circle. And so I told the group what I saw, and I said, get up here right now, get up here. And they ran to the front, and as soon as they got inside that invisible flow of power, they were slain in the spirit. I wasn't laying hands on them. And they were falling like cordwood. This is the manifest presence of God. This is the presence of God you want to step into. This is the presence of God you want to carry. This is your inheritance. You have a right to seek God for this manifest presence to flow out of you. Not so that you can just have fun, but so you can be used of God to bring change to people who are desperate for change. So that you will become so lovely and so enticing to people that they're drawn to you and they want to tell you what they see. They want to ask you what they can do to be saved. What must I do to be saved? I've had people knock on my door and suddenly burst into tears because they didn't know why they were there. I know why they were there. The Holy Ghost was drawing them. And it starts with you. Starts with you praying in the Holy Ghost, shundalying in the morning and shundalying in the evening. I am not ashamed of the Holy Ghost. He is the power of God. He is the one who will draw the lost sinner to him. He is the one who will deliver. He is the one who will heal. He is God. He is the manifestation of our God, and he's very, very real, and he's full of love. That's what I want for you. I want you to remove from your thinking the world's deception. It's like a veil has fallen upon many in the church, and in this veil, they can no longer see the light and dark difference again. It becomes fuzzy because the world sounds reasonable. Turn with me to 1 John. We're going to see what God's remedy is for this. 1 John 4. I'll give you time to get there. 1 John 4. Verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, he's from God. But by this you will know. By this you will know. Pay attention to that. Every spirit that does not confess, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. There's no ifs, buts, or ands. Either you are from God or you're not. And if you're not from God, it's real important that you know that. It's real important that you know certain thoughts you're thinking are not from God. You really need to know that. But this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard that is coming, and now is already in the world. It was already in the world in the garden. That Antichrist spirit was wiggling around in the Garden of Eden at the beginning. And it's just very evident today. You, though, are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. But we are from God. Listen to this. We are from God. That's those of us in the room who have received Jesus Christ as the Redeemer. You're from God. You're not from the world. You are cut out of a different cloth. You are alien to a wicked planet. You are a new creature. You are different. Whoa. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. It shouldn't surprise you when people don't listen to you. It's just evident that they're not of God. That's okay. That doesn't mean you're a bad person or a poor communicator. It just means that they're not of God. They won't listen to you. You cannot convince them. Only the Holy Ghost. Don't worry about not being the Holy Ghost. You are full of the Holy Ghost. Who? He is not from God. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Listen, verse 1 says to test, try the spirits. I shared earlier that God's way of testing is to look for that which is good, to discern or to prove something, whether it's worthy or not. It's looking for the redeemable part of the person. The devil's way of testing is to always look for the bad, and then he can accuse you. He's always accusing, so he's always trying to uncover old sin, old thought processes. I mean, we sin every day. Our thoughts will go in a wicked line because we're in a world system that's governed by the Antichrist. And he is the prince of the power of the air. So he saturates the air with wicked, evil thoughts. And so some of them drop into your mind. That doesn't mean you're not a Christian anymore. It just means you just need to say, all right, get back to the right thoughts. Here's how I do it. Don't go there, Mary. Back on track. I soul talk. I command my soul to obey God. I command my body to obey God. I command my spirit to obey God. You have the authority to do that. You know, in Matthew 25, where it says the wise virgins are five wise, the wise virgins are those that have reined in, like a wild horse has to be reined in, or curbed, like some of our out-of-control appetites have to be curbed, of your mind. That tells me you can rein in your mind. Your will, that tells me you can choose the right path. What's that third one? Yes. You can take authority over PMS. I mean your emotions. I hate to tell you this, lady, but it isn't an excuse. You can rein it in and curb it. You can command those hormones to knock it off. Settle out. Come on. It'll take practice, but you can do it. And listen, guys, you can control those lustful thoughts. You can do it. It'll take practice, but you can do it. The Word of God says, flee youthful lusts. Or as one of my pastors said, flee lustful youths. Come on. There are times when the enemy will come against you in your mind or your emotions. He will come against you, I can guarantee you, to try to sway your will to choose the apple, the fruit. He will come against you that way. I tell you right now, flee. You know, we are trained in fire escape procedures so that when an fire breaks out, you will do what you're trained to do. Well, I had my fire alarm in my house go off last Saturday. I'm home alone. I'm minding my own business. You know, it always happens when I'm just being sweet. I was watching a good movie, and this alarm goes off. Not a small alarm. It is blaring, scared the liver out of me. I aged 10 years on the spot. I leaped to my feet, thought, it's my fire alarm. So I raced upstairs to see where it was coming from, where the fire was. I don't know why I thought I could do anything about it. And there's no smoke, there's no anything, but this alarm is going off. So then I thought, CO2. You know, carbon monoxide, it's colorless, odorless, and very dangerous and can overcome you quickly. So I hurried downstairs and called the fire department, and this alarm is blaring, and the lady on the fire alarm said, I can hear it. We're sending the fire trucks. Get out of the house. I thought, that's wisdom. Why didn't I think of doing that? You know, I didn't have an escape plan because it never occurred to me our house would burn to the ground. And so I threw on my coat because it was chilly out and raced out to my porch to wait. And here came this big fire truck. About three firemen and their bulky things came hurrying down to my house. And I told them, I don't know what's going on. I was really shaken because the adrenaline had hit my body. It never occurred to me to take authority over adrenaline. I probably should have on the spot. So these bulky firemen came in with their little testers. No fire. No CO2. They checked the house. Everything is fine. And the battery had gone dead. And they said, you must replace all of your alarms. They're 10 years old. They've expired. Well, who knew a dead alarm would make that much noise? So they leave, and I'm sitting in my entryway, shaken, when someone starts ringing my doorbell. There are two police officers there. I'm in trouble. I called the fire department. There's no fire. They had to come out in the middle of the night. I'm in big trouble. They've sent the police. It really kind of shook me up. I'm normally a real calm person. But when adrenaline hits your system, when you're in the crisis, you don't think correctly. So they said that your burglar alarm has gone off. My first thought is, I have a burglar in the house? So they said, do you want us to check your house? Oh, yes, please, check my house. So now I have another group of first responders going through my house, and they couldn't find the burglar. So I said, does the fire alarm trigger the burglar alarm? No, ma'am, it doesn't work that way. So they finally left. I had forgotten that I had set the fire alarm, the burglar alarm. And when I stepped out on the porch, I triggered it. But the fire alarm was so loud, I could not hear the burglar alarm. So I had a double crisis going here. Flee. Practice fleeing. Practice avoiding temptation while your wits are about you, so that when the temptation comes in, you will do what is right. Practice godliness so that when the tempter comes in, you will do what is right. If you do not practice, then the enemy will confuse your mind and suddenly you'll be wooed down the wrong path. How many people have I counseled who've said they don't know why they yielded to that sin? They don't know why. They weren't even attracted to that person, but they yielded to the sin because they hadn't practiced godliness. Make a choice right now. I will not enter into sin by the grace of God. Holy Ghost, help me. Put a seal on my tongue that I will not sin against you. Put a seal on my heart that I will not be enticed away from you. Put a seal on my feet that my feet will not run the way of the flesh and into temptation. Put a seal on my mind. Grant me the mind of Christ. I need the mind of Christ. I need to think the thoughts of God. I need you to flood me with the right thoughts so when the bad ones come in, I can flee from them. That is a choice. And right now, before I go on, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to make that choice right now. I'm going to ask you to choose to flee temptation. Flee. Youthful lusts. Flee the world system. Flee that opinion of the world, that spirit of error. Flee the world view and embrace the mind of Christ. Embrace the Spirit's truth. Embrace God's biblical worldview right now, no matter what. No matter what your feelings say. No matter what your professor says. No matter what your neighbor says. You will choose God's worldview right now. Thank you. Now, the scripture says in verse 2, I'm still in 1 John 4, verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Now remember, you're to judge things. When I was in the middle of that crisis, I didn't know why my burglar alarm went off, and I made a wrong conclusion. Now that I'm not full of adrenaline and shaken, it was a stupid conclusion. But at the time, it seemed reasonable. A burglar's in my house? Like in the middle of a fire, the burglar's going to sneak in the back door. You know, you just don't think right. Of course, some would say I never do, but listen. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. I want to cover that word confess, because people think if they just say, oh yeah, I believe Jesus. Oh yeah, I believe he's real. Well, the devil believes he's real. You know, that is not the confession of Jesus this is talking about. That word, that Greek word for confess, has a number of meanings. It's not just to admit the existence of, it's to admit the truth of. And if you're admitting the truth of Jesus Christ, you are admitting he is the living Son of God, who rose from the dead and whose blood covers the sins of the world. That's the confession God's looking for, not just, oh yeah, I believe Jesus. No, it's I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he paid a price for me. I believe his blood covers me. I believe he loves me passionately. I believe it's his will to heal me. I believe it's his will to deliver me. I believe he's going to give me that good job. I believe he's going to give me a raise. I believe he's going to heal me from multiple sclerosis. I believe he's going to heal cancer. I believe. That's confession. That's not this passive thing. That's what he's talking about. That's what that Greek word means. It says to recognize the fact or importance or quality. Who? The devil always tries to make Christians sound ignorant, deplorables. He always tries to make you sound like if you believe in Jesus, you're ignorant. You know, you're not very intelligent. This is especially true when you look at the media, because we in America have elevated educators to a godlike status alongside rock stars and movie stars, and somehow their opinion means more. No, their opinion is still out to lunch because it's the world view. Come on, it doesn't matter if they have a PhD or if they're out digging ditches. If they have that world view, they're lost and going to hell. This precious Eskimo man, Abraham George, was lost and going to hell. I mean, he could beat up everyone in the village, which he did, before Christ. That didn't make his opinion right. Violence does not mean the opinion is right. And you will notice now that it's become fashionable not to discuss an issue, but to debate it and then tear down your opponent. I mean, we saw that happen with Sarah Palin when she ran for office. She was totally unprepared for the sharks she was jumping into the pool with. And so she was trying to be this sweet, nice Christian lady and was totally annihilated in the media. Were they right? That was a picture of the world view. And I don't want you to be afraid of the worldview, because the worldview is going to the bad place. Doesn't matter how beautiful they are. Some of our movie stars, I've been disappointed. Some of my favorite movie stars are going to hell. They are. Do you remember what I said when I worked for the Supreme Court and that law clerk asked me if I believed in Jesus? And here I am, just, I'm working for Justice Roger Connor. And Steve, this law clerk from back east, serving in the court, said, "Mary, do you believe that if I don't accept Jesus as my Messiah, my Redeemer, that I'm going to hell?" There is only one answer to that. One simple answer. Yes. "I can't believe an intelligent woman like you believe in such nonsense." And he began to rant and rave. And I just held steady. "I know in whom I have believed. And the day is coming when that trumpet will sound. And I'm taking off and heading north. And Steve is going to be somewhere down there. Unless he turns." Don't be afraid of the opposition. I know it's become pretty violent. And I know that the enemy's plan is to annihilate any opposer. He wants to annihilate anyone who does not agree with this worldview. It's an interesting thing to see played out. That word confess has another meaning. It means to show that you have noticed or recognized, in this case, Jesus, by making a gesture or a greeting. In other words, if you believe in Jesus, you must do something or say something. When God has done something for you, tell somebody. When I worked for the Supreme Court, I would come in on a Monday, because I was always in church on Sunday, and I would begin to tell them about the miracles I saw, about the little six-month-old baby who was born with her hips twisted and her legs stuck out this way to the side. The brand new baby. And when she came, was brought to church by her grandmother, and they held her little feet, I was standing right in front. I first miracle I ever saw up close and personal. And the woman that was doing the praying just said one thing, Jesus. And you heard that snap, crackle, pop of the bones as that foot began to straighten out. And I'm staring at that thing. Wow, he is real. That's manifest present. This other foot came about halfway and it stopped. It took 1 week for that foot to finish. Well, you know the first thing I did when I got to work on Monday. Guess what happened? Confess. When you believe, tell when you see a miracle. Tell somebody about the testimony. Yeah, this woman had, they forgave her debt. Jesus helped her. Yeah, this young man, he began to speak in the Holy Ghost. That's a miracle, by the way. Tell. That's part of the testing process. So you're not embracing the worldview, but you're embracing the biblical view. Yes, God is alive. Yes, he is the healer. Do you know what will happen? They'll mock and laugh and walk away, but somebody who needs healing is going to sneak up to you at the coffee machine and say, This Jesus, do you think he might heal me? And they'll make sure nobody else knows they're doing this because they have a worldview. They don't want the worldview challenged. Have an answer. Yes. Pray. Don't have to shout. We don't have to roll down the aisles anymore, you know. I've never done it, but I've been tempted. Pray. Lay hands on them. There is power in you. And when you lay hands on someone, that power is flowing out of you into them. So that person that opposes you, just greet them. How you doing? You know, you're carrying a very special baby. You're carrying a baby that's going to make a difference. Sing to that child in the Holy Ghost. The minute he takes his first breath, let him hear your voice singing in the Holy Ghost. You'll plant something in that child that'll last for the rest of his life. Do it. Learn to bless children. Learn to bless your own children. Bless their friends that come in. Learn how to turn off timers and burglar alarms. Be ready. Practice righteousness. Whoa, listen. When you overcome, you know, verse 4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them. That word overcome is the Greek word nikao. And it's a warfare term. It's a conquering term. It means that you must fight a battle to overcome. And when you overcome, tell somebody. Tell a group of people. Tell them. Because you are releasing the biblical worldview into your sphere. And it will always challenge the world's view. That's okay. Because we are in a war right now. But I want you to know we win. Amen. Don't get upset with the opposition. Love them. But God's going to challenge your worldview. Jesus is pretty sure about certain issues. He does not like the slaughter of children, either pre or post birth. Because he is the one that calls someone to be conceived before they're born. That seed would not fertilize unless God had called them by name. So God mentions their name while they're still in the womb, the egg and the sperm fertilize, and that one that God called by name is heading toward emergence into our system. It's not God's will to terminate that. And I know there are circumstances that everyone has to consider, but I do know God feels pretty strongly about things like that. God will choose the most unlikely person to promote. Like when he saved Abraham George, the least likely person. And he raised him from the dead. So now he's going around with his medical records and his death certificate, and he's become a phenomenal evangelist. Uneducated, can hardly speak English, and the fear of God falls on a room when he begins to share what happened to him. When he begins to describe the bad place, people run to the altar to find the good place. Listen, God will turn you into a wonderful evangelist, pastor, prophet, teacher, whatever your calling is, wherever you are at, have an emergency plan for when the enemy comes in. So you, as you chose this morning, you will choose the biblical worldview. You will choose to follow Jesus no matter what. You will go to your grave following Jesus Christ, and you will stand on that day when he calls us to come before his presence, and he says to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." God bless you. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray right now that you begin to remove from their thought processes any worldview that opposes the Lord. I pray right now that you'll begin to soften the anger they have against certain political figures and cause them to see with the eyes of love. I pray right now that they will prepare a personal exit plan for when the enemy comes in to take them down. And I pray that they will come into a place of understanding the passionate love of Jesus Christ that will seal them and keep them through eternity. And Father, let today be a day of change. I pray for the manifestation of the presence of the Lord in their lives today. I pray that they'll feel a quickening of your spirit today. I pray that you'll give them an opportunity to share their faith today. And for those that are far from you, I pray that inside they say, "Yes, Lord, I will obey you no matter what it feels like. I will trust you." In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you at the throne. That's where we're heading.